This recording is provided by Times Square Church in New York City. You're welcome to make additional copies for free distribution to friends. All other unauthorized duplication or electronic transmission is a violation of copyright and other applicable laws. This recording cannot be posted on any website. However, written permission to link to the Times Square Church homepage may be requested by emailing info@timesquarechurch.org. Other recordings are available by calling 1-800-488-0854 or by writing to Times Square Church Tape Ministry, 1657 Broadway, New York, New York, 10019.
The Lord Jesus bless you. I have a word from the Lord this afternoon and a message entitled, "There Shall Be Peace in the House of the Lord." There shall be peace in the house of the Lord. I would like for you to turn with me in your Bibles to the book of John. The book of John. I get pretty used to saying that around here. The book of John. And we are going to begin our study in John, the 10th chapter. And we'll begin reading at the 7th verse, John 10:7. And from there, we're going to go to the book of 1 Kings. But first, John 10, verse 7 and following. "And Jesus said to them again, 'Most assuredly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep do not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly.'" Consider again the 10th verse. The thief comes to steal and to kill and to destroy. "But I've come that they might have life and have it more abundantly." For some reason, when we read this passage of scripture or when we simply make reference to it, we superimpose the name Satan over that term, the thief. But that is not what the Bible says. The Bible does not say the devil comes to steal and to kill and to destroy. The Bible doesn't say Satan comes to kill and to steal and destroy, although I do believe that he is the spirit behind the thief. But when the Bible speaks about thief here, it speaks about a pretender to the throne. It speaks about someone who comes and says on some level or another, "I am Christ." Or who says on some level or another, "I come in the name of Jesus Christ," or "I come according to the word of Jesus Christ," or "I come according to the commission of Jesus Christ, but have not." And the Bible says when they come that the sheep, those who know the voice of the Lord, they don't pay that kind of a person any mind. But it says that there is still a very clear and present danger, because this thief does come in. Every now and again, in the house of the Lord, there is a type of upheaval when one who comes saying that "I have this from the Lord," or a group who comes say, "I have this from the Lord," begins to take away from the foundation of the peace that should pervade the house of God. Now, I want you to turn with me in your Bibles to the book of 1 Kings, and we are going to get a picture of what this looks like. We're going to see what happens when God's desire that peace should reign in his house is thwarted, or at least there is an attempt to thwart this particular plan. the book of 1 Kings, reading from the first chapter and beginning at the first verse. The first book of Kings, the first chapter, the first verse. Now David was old, advanced in years, and they put covers on him, but he could not get warm. Therefore his servants said to him, "Let a young woman, a virgin, be brought to our Lord the king, and let her stand before the king, and let her care for him, and let her lie in his bosom, that our Lord the king might be warm." So they sought for a lovely young woman throughout all the territory of Israel and found Abishag the Shunammite and brought her to the king. The young woman was very lovely and she cared for the king and served him, but the king did not know her. Then Adonijah, the son of Haggith, exalted himself saying, "I will be king." And he prepared for himself chariots and horsemen and 50 men to run before him. Now, according to this story, Nathan the prophet heard of what was going on, because when Adonijah decided that he was going to be king, he decided that he was going to be king because he saw from his perspective some weakness in his father. And he did not necessarily like his father's choice as to who would follow him in his reign. And so he decided he would get a few people together and he would decide that he himself would be king. So Adonijah set himself up. He brought certain people in with him. Abiathar, the priest, the Bible says. Joab, who had stood with David for many, many years, and others. But there were people that he did not invite. He did not invite, for instance, Nathan the prophet. He did not invite Zadok the priest. He did not invite Benaiah, the king's bodyguard. He did not invite Solomon. Now, as you know, Solomon was that one, according to the prophecy, that was a type of Jesus Christ. A type of that throne that would endure forever and forever. And his name just happened to mean peace. And Adonijah, whose name meant "My Lord is Yahweh," was saying to the people in so many words, "You know that I am a descendant of David. And you know that the Lord is my God, my father is Yahweh. You know that I love the Lord, that I'm a servant of God. And I'm noticing some deficiencies in my father lately. I've noticed that he's not as strong as he used to be. He's not exerting the type of authority that ordinarily keeps everybody in line. He might not be moving with that iron fist or whatever the case might be. Don't you think it's about time we had some serious authority in the house again? Don't you think it's about time we had some serious order in the house of God?" And so he began to lift himself up. The Bible says he began to exalt himself. And Nathan, who is a type of the Holy Spirit, began to go to Bathsheba. Now, her name means the daughter of a promise. She had heard a word from David, who is a type of God in this particular story. She had heard a word from David that said, "Peace shall reign in the house of the Lord." And Nathan, whose name means a gift from God, he goes to her, this type of the Holy Spirit, and he begins to speak to her heart. And he says, "Don't you know that your life is on the line? There is a thief that has entered into the house of God. And his design is to steal and to kill and to destroy." He said, "Don't you understand that unless you begin to call God on the promise that he made to you, that you are going to die?" and that your son is going to die. He said, this one is coming into your vineyards, and he is looking to uproot and to overturn. But God has made a promise to you. He came to her and said, don't you remember? God's speaking to you and telling you that you can expect that peace will reign in the house of God. Don't you remember God coming to you and telling you that you can expect that sweet communion will reign in the house of God? Don't you remember God coming to you and telling you that you will be able to enter into the house of God and you won't have to be bombarded with murmuring and complaining, with bickering and discomfort? Don't you remember when God spoke to you and said you would enter into the house of the Lord and you would find peace? You would find holy communion. You would find tender love. You would find brothers and sisters in Christ who would lift one another up, who would exalt one another in the name of the Lord, and who would do everything that they could to build one another up. Don't you remember? God spoke that to you, and he came to her, and he said, you had better fight right now, because if you don't, you are going to die. You are going to lose everything that God has promised to you. You are going to lose your inheritance. You are going to lose everything that Jesus bought for you on Calvary's tree. Everything that he intended when he ripped that bread in twain and said, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. When he made that promise of godly communion, he said, if you don't stir up your heart now and enter into the presence of God, and begin to jostle him and say, oh God, didn't you promise me that I should expect peace to reign in the house of the Lord? He said, if you don't begin to pray that way, if you don't begin to believe that thing, if you don't begin to cling to that element of your heritage, you will certainly die. God spoke to you. God said to you that peace would reign in the house of God. And now there is a spirit of deception and a spirit of broken communion. And the Spirit of the Lord is speaking to you. Protect your heritage. Protect your life. Nathan went to Bathsheba and said, you had better do this for your very life's sake. Because the Bible says to us that the thief cometh but to kill, to steal, to rob from you your very heritage, to rob from you your very life, to destroy the very nature and substance of your community. And this thief had certain people that he brought with him, Joab for one. And Joab, every now and again, when he saw somebody who had been defeated by the power of David, and who had been broken by that defeat, and who was trying to come to David that he might be healed, that he might be forgiven, that he might be brought in, Joab went to that brother, and with a knife hidden in his robe, would take him by the hand and would embrace him to kiss him. And when that brother would come to embrace Joab, Joab would slip that dagger out from under his cloak and knife him, because David's rule wasn't authoritative enough, because David wasn't strong enough, because David didn't rule with enough order And his hand was not mighty enough. And Joab thought he'd take matters into his own hand. And he did that according to this scripture with Abner. And he did it with Amasa. And David never forgot it. David never forgot it. And he took with him Abiathar, that discontented Levite, who thought that he can twist and he could turn and he could conform this ministry into whatever he wanted it to be. To mold it and to shape it after his own image and according to his own likeness. This man who did not minister to the Lord, that had become passé. He didn't have any concern with that. He just wanted to do what he could among human persons, but he had nothing from God anymore. And those are the kind of people that he surrounded himself with. And he exalted himself as king. But at a certain point, there was a fight that began to rise in the heart of Bathsheba. Because I mentioned to you, her name meant the daughter of a promise. She had heard a promise from God, and she was not going to let it go. She heard that peace was supposed to reign in the throne of the Lord. That peace was supposed to reign in the house of God. That God's house was supposed to be a place of sweet communion, of tender love, of covenant loyalty. And so she went in to David. And Nathan said, don't worry, you're not going to have to go in by yourself. He said, all I'm asking you to do is you just go in. You get to praying. And he said, soon as you go in and you begin to speak to David, I will come in after you. And I will begin to reinforce your words. I will begin to strengthen you. I will begin to bear witness to you. As you begin to pray, he said, I will be there right alongside of you. This is what the Holy Spirit says. When you begin to pray for peace, when you begin to say, God, you made a promise that there would be peace in your house. When you begin to pray, the Holy Spirit stands alongside of you and he begins to reinforce every word that comes forth from your mouth. He begins to strengthen every syllable. And she just went in humility and said, David, didn't you say that peace would reign in your house? Didn't you say, in essence, that people would love one another? David, didn't you say when you took that bread and you ripped it and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you? Didn't you suggest that by the ripping of your body, there would be a joining of your body? And that your body would be one body? Didn't you tell me that I could expect to love the person to my right and to my left? Didn't you tell me that I could expect that when I enter in with communion and verbal communion with my brother and my sister, that I'm not going to have to worry about them killing me the way the senior Hamlet was killed by his brother? You remember? He's sleeping in the park, as it were, in his court, and his brother comes and he pours poison into his ear. Didn't you tell me, God, that I could expect peace in the house of the Lord? And as she begins to pray, Nathan comes in right after. I say, David, did you know, or was it your design? Because sometimes the Holy Spirit will say that in us and say that to us and say that through us. Did you know that Adonijah is setting himself up as king? Did you recognize that this person has decided to carry a certain amount of people away with him? Did you realize that that was going on? And the Bible says that David began to rouse himself. It's a dangerous thing when David begins to rouse himself, because his jealousy for his own name and for his own glory. And remember what the Bible says, that his name is jealous. when his jealousy for his own name and own glory begins to rouse itself. And he says, I want you to call certain people in to me. And he calls, obviously, in Solomon and says to Solomon, don't worry. I am going to establish you in my house. Don't worry now. There's going to be peace in the house of the Lord. Don't you know, my brother and my sister, when God chooses to rouse himself up, there ain't anything that any party spirit can do to stay his hand. There is not one thing that any factious spirit can do to stay the hand of God. When God decides to rouse himself up, and when he says, peace, come and stand before me, and begins to pour the anointing oil upon peace and say, I determine that you will reign in the house of God. I determine that there will be peace. Brother, sister, you don't want to be on the losing side. He said, I have determined that there would be peace. To call Bathsheba, he said, I have determined that the promise that I made to you will come to pass. I have determined that your heart and those great expectations that I've laid upon your heart, they will be fulfilled. When you pray in your prayer closet, sometimes you say, God, I know there shouldn't be bickering, there shouldn't be murmuring, there shouldn't be complaining in the house of the Lord. Would you cause your promise to be made manifest in this generation? God says to you, I will cause my promise to come to pass. Sometimes you look at your own heart and you say, God, I know I shouldn't be murmuring. I know I shouldn't be complaining. But you made a promise and you said that I would get the victory over this. And God speaks to your heart and says, right here, right now, I am bringing the victory to you. He said, call Bathsheba into this place. Hallelujah. And let her know that I'm going to fulfill this promise. Peace shall reign in the house of the Lord. He said, call Zadok to me. Because the Bible says about Zadok, and he says, and I want you to have Zadok, I want you to have him anoint this piece. I want you to have him anoint. See, because Zadok is that kind of priest, that kind of Levite, that kind of minister who ministers first and foremost to the Lord. That's his first concern. That's his primary consideration. He wants to minister to God. When you read in your Bibles in the book of Ezekiel, he makes a distinction between Abiathar and Zadok. And the distinction is that Abiathar's concern is how he's seen by men. Whereas Zadok, his first ministry is to the Lord. It's a Christ-centered ministry. And he said, call all of those servants who minister to me. All of those servants who love me. All of those servants who bless me, and as a result, they pour out a blessing to their brother and their sister. So call that man to me, because he is going to be useful in the hands of God to establish peace in Zion. He is going to be useful in the hands of God to establish peace in the house of the Lord. Call him, because he's going to pour the anointing oil on Solomon. Call him. So call this man Nathan. Because Nathan is the kind of man who speaks the word in season. He has a prophetic message, but he's also a friend of David. And you can always tell when a person has a prophetic message because they are a friend of David. They speak according to the word of David, but also according to the heart of David. They're not beating people down. They're not knifing people and so on and so forth. But there is a burden that comes from the very heart of the Lord. Now you understand this man, Nathan. At a certain point, he had to speak a word as David was looking to build the house of the Lord. And Nathan befriended David on such a level that as soon as the Lord put a word on his heart, he was able to speak that word to David, even though it might not have been the easiest word for David to hear. But now in this context, we're looking at David as a type of the Lord because the Bible makes him such. And this Nathan being sent out by David is somebody who speaks a word in season. They say what the Lord said, but they say it as a friend of God. They speak from the heart of God. They make understood his concern. And his concern in this particular case and in this particular context was that peace should reign in the house of the Lord. And God called him along with Zadok to anoint this piece, to pour the oil of God upon it, to make everyone understand that it is the doing of the Lord, that it is the hand of the Lord, that it is the Spirit of the Lord. Peace shall reign. Peace shall reign. Peace shall reign in the house of the Lord. God has already determined it, don't you understand? It's not a matter of whether or not that's going to happen. The only question is, whose side are you on? He said, send these people in. Those people, as Moses said, whoever is on the Lord's side, let him come unto me. He said, bring Bathsheba to me. Bring Nathan to me. Bring Zadok to me. Bring Benaiah to me. Benaiah's responsibility was that he was the king's personal bodyguard. He stood with a small army, as it were, if you will, of intercessors, whose responsibility was to protect the body. So whenever they saw anything coming against that body, they would initially see it in the prayer closet, and God would lay a word upon their heart, if you will. They were the bodyguard who said, I am not going to allow anything to exalt itself against this body and against the peace that must reign here. He said, call the Benaiahs who are praying through the night, who are standing guard over the body of Christ. Call these people to me. He said, because I want them to place my son upon my mule, and I want them to escort him throughout the city. And when they escorted this man peace throughout the city, they escorted him with their hands upon their sword, as it were. It's quite an irony, don't you think? They're walking with their hand upon their sword saying, don't you know peace is going to reign here? And I don't care what kind of war we have to wage to see it happen. Peace is going to reign in the house of the Lord. And that's what the intercessor says sometimes. It's a wonderful thing when God makes a determination. Adonijah at a certain point recognizes there's nothing that I can do. The Lord has already made a determination. You know, he said, I'll just pack up my stuff and go. Everything's going to be all right. You know, I'll find myself another church or something like that. I'm not quite sure how he put it. You know what I mean? Because I don't have the new living thing. But the bottom line, I'm joking. But he might have said something to that effect. I think I'm going to put out my own paraphrase. And in it, he would have said, that's fine. If y'all don't like me, I'm out of here. You know what I mean? I tried to do some good. I tried to make a difference. I tried to help y'all along and so on and so forth. I tried to add a little backbone to David's reign and this, that, and the other. But hey, whatever. You know what I mean? And so as he was on his way out, he thought everything was kind of calming down and cooling. You know, and, of course, Solomon probably thought, fine, you know, thank God it's all over, so on and so forth. And then all of a sudden, Bathsheba, you know, who now, you know, represents, you know, the church in this particular context, because he sits her upon his throne at his right hand. But maybe she's, you know, she's happy with the victory, and maybe she's dropped her guard a little bit. So Adonijah, you know, he, you know, come here. You know what I mean? And she comes over, you know, and he says, you're right, you won. You know, he said, you know, the kingdom was mine. I mean, I had it, but and then he uses, you know, basically a little bit of Christianese and says, but according to the Lord, it was the Lord's will. Solomon, you know, took the throne. He said, now, I want you to go to Solomon and ask him something for me. And she said, you know, her first thought was, you know, is it peace? Are you still trying to kill me? You know, and he said, no, everything's cool now. You know, I acknowledge I lost, I'm out. But would you ask Solomon about Abishag? He said, I pretty much lost everything else. I don't need it, you know. But boy, that Abishag is cute and, you know, you know, and would you ask Solomon if I could have her? And she loses her discernment for a little bit. You know, and she comes in and she says, boy, oh boy, I've been interceding. I've been believing in everything. I prayed. You've given me. Because she was praying according to his heart. She was praying according to the heart of the Lord. And when you pray according to the heart of the Lord, according to the scripture, if you pray anything in my name, that is, if you pray anything according to my heart, I will do it. So she got used to that, used to having her prayers answered. So she lost a little bit of discernment and she went in and she said, I'm going to ask you something. Would you not say no to me? Because that's even what Adonijah said. He said, go in and ask him. You know, he never tells you no. And so that's what she did. And he said, of course, I'm not going to tell you no. You know, sets up a throne for her. Boom. She's sitting there, you know what I mean, with godly authority. And she says, would you give Abishag the Shunammite to Adonijah? And again, now Solomon, as a type of Christ, he just gets up from his throne. Incredulous almost. And he asks her, do you understand what you're asking me? And she's probably saying to herself, it's just Abishag. I mean, you know, she's not Nathan. I mean, she's not Benaiah. She's not this. She's not that. It's just Abishag. What difference does it make? And he said, you might as well be asking for him the very throne. Because remember what the Bible says about Abishag. Look in your Bibles again. Go back to 1 Kings, first chapter, first verse. Now King David was old, advanced in years, and they put covers on him, but he could not get warm. Therefore his servants said to him, let a young woman, a virgin, be sought for our Lord the king, and let her stand before the king, and let her care for him, and let her lie in his bosom, and let my Lord the king be warm. You see, she represents an element of the church and an element of the Christian individual that sometimes gets overlooked because of all the other people that are doing a wonderful thing in the body. See, she represents intimacy with Christ. And what Adonijah was saying in essence was, if I can't have control on this level, then I'll go in secrecy to the very heart of the matter. If I can drain the church of its intimacy, then I'll take the victory on the other side sooner or later. Somebody might have asked him at some stage, Adonijah, your name means my father is Yahweh. Whatever happened to you? And he might have said, if he was being honest, somewhere along the line, I lost my intimacy. Somewhere along the line, I stopped praying. Somewhere along the line, I stopped hoping. Somewhere along the line, I stopped studying. Somewhere along the line, I stopped believing. Somewhere along the line, I got too busy trying to set up my kingdom. Somewhere along the line, I forgot the Lord. You see, Abishag represents certain things. It said that she was a virgin, for instance, and it represents a purity. A purity before the Lord, where we are with him in the holy place and he's constantly washing us and cleansing us in his very person. As Christians, we've been washed in the blood, but now we are being sanctified by his very person, washed in the waters of sanctification as we're with him in the holy place. A purity that maybe Adonijah forgot about. Maybe a few other people forgot about it. Maybe even Bathsheba forgot about it for a little while. Because she couldn't understand the significance, but Solomon understood. Peace always understands that its strength is based upon intimacy with Christ. And the peace in any church recognizes that I cannot exist. I cannot remain on the throne if the people lose their intimacy with Jesus. And so she represents this purity. Because she's with David, there is this purity, there is this virginity, as it were, there's this constant washing, this constant cleansing. And Adonijah said, just give me that and I'll be fine. Let me take that from peace and that'll be enough. He said, let this virgin be sought for the king and let her stand before the king. Again, this idea of intimacy. Standing before the Lord in the holy place. Hearing His voice, knowing His name, allowing Him to speak His heart to you is always the greatest thing that can be used against division in the church. There is nothing more potent to destroy pride than to stand in the presence of the Lord. And when you stand in the presence of that holy majesty, all those things that are saying into your heart, I'll lift up my own self and I'll build my own throne. When you stand in the presence of that throne, you're reminded that your throne and my throne is no throne. When Isaiah stood in the presence of that throne, he fell upon his face and said, "Woe is me." In our vernacular, I'm a dead man. I have nothing. I have no strength. I have no hope. Until the holy angels that were crying, "Holy, holy, holy," pointed to that altar out to him and said, "But don't you worry none, son. If you go to that and you allow the fire from that altar to touch your lips and maybe some of that murmuring and some of that complaining," he said, he said, "among a people of unclean lips." He said, "I'm undone. I'm a man of unclean lips. I dwell among a people of unclean lips. And I stand before this holy God," he said. And the angels directed him to that altar and said, "Now what you need to do is you need to stand before God again. You need to get back to that altar and just let one of the coals from that fire touch your lips." And when that happened, he went from saying, "Woe is me," to "Here am I. God, under that circumstance, you can use me in any way you want. You can send me anywhere you want. Because I've heard your voice. Because I believe you." There was a time when he was invited to stand before the Lord again. And Adonijah said, "Just let me have that. Let me take that from the church. And everything else is going to be okay." You see, he said, I know if I can get that purity. And if I can get that desire to stand before him and that sense of need to be in his presence. If I can just take that from the church, then it's just a matter of time. And I'll bring my armies in once again. But peace spoke and said, "Don't you know?" He spoke to the church. He spoke to Bathsheba, the one who was crying out and believing for a promise. He said, "Don't you know, if those things are gone, if those things are taken, then you might as well just give Adonijah the throne. Because if those things are gone, we're dead." He goes on to stand before the king and let her care for him. That was the difference between Abiathar and Zadok. Remember? Abiathar didn't minister to the Lord. In fact, he wasn't even allowed to after a certain time. You see that in your Bibles in the book of Ezekiel? Just look around in that book. You'll find it in the upper chapters if you haven't already seen it. To care for him. To love him. To embrace him. To nurture, to cherish the Lord. When Christian people do that, peace reigns in the house of the Lord. To care about what he cares about, and that means to care about one another. Because in order for me to care about Christ, I have to care about you. The Bible says, "How can I say I love that one that I can't see when I don't love the one that I can see?" To care about him. He said, "When I was sick, when I was naked, when I was in the hospital, when I was in the prison, you came to visit me." They said, "When did we come to visit you?" He said, "When you went to visit anybody in that circumstance, you came to visit me. When you cared for any of my people, you cared for me." See, this Abishag has this desire to care for Christ. And she cares for him directly, and she cares for him indirectly. She cares for him. She concerns herself with him. He's calling us to pray for one another, to believe for one another, to strengthen one another, to embrace one another, to be there for one another, to speak a kind word to one another and a kind word about one another. Because if that's going on, peace will reign. And Adonijah doesn't have a chance. She said, "Just give him Abishag. She doesn't matter very much." But he said, "No. If you give him Abishag, you might as well give him the whole kingdom." This intimacy with Christ. And let her lie in his bosom. It's a wonderful thing when you consider this idea. She just nestles her head in his bosom. She hears his heartbeat. She knows his ways. She understands his desires and his designs and his plans. She knows what God is doing. She understands his nature and his character. She is one, as it were, with his ideas and with his essence because he is sharing it with her. He's speaking words to her. He said he doesn't do anything unless he first informs his prophet. He will give a word, whether it be to a prophet or somebody who is just moving in the spirit of prophecy according to that time or that day. Whatever the case might be, she's that person who can say, I know what God is saying. So somebody comes to her, for instance, with some bickering and with some complaining, and she said, that doesn't sound like God to me. Remember, he said, the thief comes but to kill and to steal and to destroy, but my sheep doesn't hear him. My sheep won't listen to him. He said, but I have come. And she knows when the Lord has come. And I have come that you might have life. See, the thief comes to kill, but I've come that you might have life. And that you might have full life, abundant life, that you might enjoy this intimacy. That you might nestle your head upon his bosom. And when you nestle your head upon his bosom, you don't hear, you can't hear any complaining, any murmuring, any backbiting, anything that says David's not strong enough, David is not hard enough, David doesn't have enough control, David doesn't have enough authority, David doesn't have all of his ducks in a row and he's not moving according to administrative perfection or whatever the case might be. But instead you hear the voice of your Lord, you hear the voice of your King, you hear the voice of your Savior because there is an intimacy. And then finally, that our Lord the King might be warm. Because sometimes our Lord the King will look down on a society and he'll see some things and it can turn his heart cold sometimes. He can hear some things and it can turn his heart cold sometimes, but that intercessor comes and begins to pray. You remember how God was dealing with the people as they began to raise up an idol and he says to Moses, go away from me because I'm just getting tired of this and I'm ready to just stretch forth my hands against it. But Moses kept praying. Moses kept believing, even though he said, even if I die here, I'm going to pray. And it began to warm the heart of the Lord. That's what intercessors do. Sometimes that's what the Abishags do. That's what those people who engage in godly intimacy do. They say, I can't see anything but true peace in the house of God. I will not rest and I will not give God rest until I see peace reigning in the house of God. And when I sense the displeasure of God over the house because there's murmuring and complaining about to come in, he says, I just come. Or she says, I just come. And I begin to pray from the depths of my heart until I break my soul before God. Because I have a responsibility to warm the heart of the Lord. And Adonijah sees that and he says, just give me that. He said, church, you can spare that, can't you? You're doing a lot of things. You're doing a lot of ministry. You're out there. You have your big names and you have your Nathans and you have your this and you have your that. You don't really need that Abishag, do you? Just give me that. Just give me that intimacy. You go on with the work. You continue to get busy. You continue to make things happen. You continue to set up this program and that program. You continue to get this thing working and that thing working and get this thing rolling and that thing rolling. Just give me Abishag. That's all I want. Just give me your prayer time. That's all I want. Just give me your study. That's all I want. Just give me your quiet time. Because he understood that if you give me that, you will eventually give me the throne. But peace spoke up and said, if you don't want to lose me. Peace spoke up and said, if you don't want to lose your own life, don't give up Abishag. Don't turn away from those times of intimacy, from those times of prayer. Because as long as your ear is nestled on the bosom of Christ, you're not going to hear the voice of the thief. Hallelujah. 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 I have a word from God for you tonight. When Solomon was roused that last time, he said, I'm telling you this. This time, Adonijah has spoken this word against his own life. And it's a strange way, the way Adonijah and the way Joab and certain others, the way they died. Some of them died holding on to the very horns of the altar. And Solomon said, kill them there. Because some of them decided they're not going to, you know, leave church, but they're not going to leave their complaint either. Brother and sister, hear me in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You don't want to die that way. God is extending an invitation today. This is not an ordinary altar call. There is somebody in this room who's pouring poison in the ear of their brother, of their sister. God has given you a chance to save your life. Somebody else in this room who has had poison poured into your ear, God has given you a chance to save your life. This is a time to dispense with any fear of man, with any pride. Don't worry about what anybody's going to say or think. This is an opportunity for you to save your life, to save your children's lives. I'm going to ask you to stand with me right now. If God is speaking to your heart, would you come to this altar? It's not an easy altar call. I'm not expecting that it's going to be full. God is offering to save lives. In the name of the Lord Jesus, come to this altar. Come to this altar. We're going to pray with you. In Jesus' holy name, amen.
I agree 100% that when I have missed or allowed the enemy to steal those intimate times with Jesus, all peace goes. It seems like you get attacked from every side. I agree 100%. And I believe that you're here at this altar today because you acknowledge that somewhere that intimacy with Christ has been lost. And it's a work of the enemy. He wants to do that. But thank God that He says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. That you cry to me, I will answer you. He's just a prayer away. And that you can leave this place, not with a 10-step program now to try to get right. No, never. It's immediate. The moment you cry to the Lord, He says, I will answer thee. Amen. Pray this with me. Lord Jesus, I don't want to lose the peace of that intimacy with you. Right now, I recognize that the enemy has been trying to steal, kill my relationship with you. But I thank you, and I confess from my heart, I need you. Lord Jesus, bring me back right now into that place of intimacy with you. In Jesus' name. Now, Father, I thank you. I know that this is what the enemy wants. I know it. Lord, it's a sure word. That the attack of the enemy always, always trying to get that peace. Get us busy with programs, get us busy with 1,000 things, and miss the time with you. Now, Lord Jesus, thank you. Minister this word to us. Bless your people this day in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Give him thanks, beloved. Amen.
This is the conclusion of the message.